You're listening to Radiant Womanhood, the podcast for multi-passionate women who are ready to shake off their limitations, dream big, and live fully. I'm Tabitha Blue, a wife, mom of six, author, life coach, and entrepreneur, and I know firsthand the challenges women can experience when it comes to balancing life's demands, staying true to yourself, and navigating the many curveballs life can throw. And guess what? I'm obsessed with helping you navigate all the crazy seasons of this thing called life with confidence and grace. Join me each week as I delve into topics from habit making to goal setting, career balancing to relationship nurturing, and everything in between, helping you get out of your own way and embody the radiance within. So grab your headphones, shut out the distractions, and get ready to shine. Let's dive in. Today is an exciting episode because we are talking about relationships, and not talking about necessarily romantic relationships or marriage relationships, but really who you surround yourself, your circle, because I feel like that is so important. So I have a very special guest on today with me, actually in-person guest. So I'm looking right across the table into these blue eyes, but I'm just excited. It's my best friend. And also, it happens to be my husband. So I know so far we've just had female voices on here, but I'm really excited about this episode today. And we were actually at dinner the other day and just started talking about that, this very thing, who we surround ourselves with, the importance of like who we're in the room with, our friendships, our relationships. And we kind of got to the point where like, pause, let's stop talking. We won't go any further. So really, I have to say this episode isn't planned. We haven't written it out. I just want to get on here and talk and really kind of start over and yet carry on the conversation we were having the other day about this really important thing, relationships. So everyone, welcome my husband, Chris Blue, to the podcast with me. He's in business with me. We are both certified life coaches. But honestly, I think we're just really good at encouraging each other. And that's what I'm thrilled about having in my life. And that's what I want for you, friends, to have in your life. So anyway, Chris.
If I might say, thank you for having me on, number one. But if I might say, if you are going to look at marriage, I would suggest highly that you marry your best friend. So It carries a lot of weight. It helps a lot in the relationship down the road. And you don't become a crutch to each other, but a support along the way. So just a side note.
Perfect.
And I'm so proud of you and what you're doing right now. And so we're glad to be on board.
Yes, I'm excited. Okay, so we kind of started our conversation the other day because of the quote. And I think probably, I feel like everyone has heard it at this point, but really just that saying, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Mm-hmm. And really just looking at, okay, who am I in the room with? You know, in this journey of life, who is in my circle? Who am I allowing to be in my circle? And whether that be in a marriage relationship or a friendship or a mentorship or a business relationship, I mean, any of the relationships we have in our life, look at it and say, like, hold it to that standard. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Is this what I want my future to look like? Are we helping each other to grow?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, are they somebody that's encouraging you, like you said, about in any relationship, you know, friendships, work relationship, doesn't matter what it is, we find ourselves surrounded by those people and sometimes unintentionally. You know, we wonder why we're at in life. And then if you stop to take a few seconds and look around and go, wow, maybe this is part of the reason I haven't done what I want to, or I'm not going as far as I want to. And are those people I surround myself with literally causing me to go higher, or they cause me to be stagnant and be okay with it and be mundane and just go with the flow? Because we know life is an upriver journey. And if we decide to stop paddling, if we decide to stop being intentional about our directions, then we're just going to get carried away, for lack of a better term.
Right.
That's just life. It's tough. Life is constant work. It's constant. Who am I surrounding myself with? Being ever taking, you know, it's funny. I look at the example. We have some friends that are in the Coast Guard, and I got to be with them one time. And I was fascinated because I got to be up with the captain's crew and all that and watch them navigate just this very straightforward path. But every 10 to 15 seconds, they would call out their directions, call out where they were. They would have a snapshot of, where am I going? Are we headed in the right direction? Constantly. Wow. And you knew just watching you were. But they were looking at deeper things. They were looking at the ridge lines of the coast and different things. And they were saying, no, we need to know at all times, am I heading in where I want to go? Mm-hmm. And that was fascinating to me because you put that into a life and you kind of overlay that and say, how often do we do that? we usually do yearly snapshots, even in our marriage sometimes. Right. You know, even in marriage,
right. we'll wait for the year to plan out a year or something.
Yeah, New Year's resolution, yay. Yeah. You know, I'm like, but those are really, I mean, by the time you get a year into it, now I'm really off track from where I thought I wanted to go. And I didn't even realize it because I never really stopped to take the time to say, where am I going? What am I doing?
Yeah.
But it always starts with where am I at?
Yeah.
It doesn't
matter.
Knowing
where
you're at. You have to know where you're at before you can know where you go.
There are a couple of things that you said there. One made me think of a whole nother quote that was said something like, because you were just talking about how you're either going to row to go the river or even like with that Coast Guard idea, like looking at the direction you're going, or you're just going to coast and go wherever that takes you. So one of the quotes said something like, you're going to grow this year. You get to choose which direction you grow, you know, like, something's going to happen this year. Something will change this year. Yeah. But am I choosing the direction that it goes, or am I just along for the ride and not choosing the direction that I want that to go? And then the other thing that you said was maybe unintentionally. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes we surround ourselves with people and it could be unintentional. And taking a look at that and saying, okay, am I being intentional about the time I spent with people? And I don't want our lives to feel like continuous, constant work. Mm-hmm. The thing is when we're around people that empower us, that was the word we did talk about the other day, it doesn't necessarily feel like work. And also, I believe that we feel empowered to empower others. So there's this whole like cyclical thing of getting in the room with people that encourage and empower you. It doesn't necessarily feel like work, even though we are encouraging each other to go in the right direction. It just is making those intentional choices instead of not making any at all.
Well, and if you're around the right people, the decisions become easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, our relationships either empower us or enable us in the wrong direction. So there's a lot of talk out there, even in the culture, about enabling. You know, in any relationship, we can enable each other to be better, good. We can enable each other to do the right things or wrong. And it's just easy to do and fall into that. And some relationships, that's the hard part, because some relationships we have are unintentional. They're not our choices. You go to work, you have workplace friends and relationships, you have to deal with that. And that's where we get into some of the issues of toxicity. Like, I'm going to limit my access to them, or I'm going to intentionally just do what I have to do to be around some people because I don't like the impact. I don't feel joy when I leave the conversation. I don't feel empowered. Like you said, I feel like a better me when I leave the room. We've heard over the years that I want to leave wherever I am better than I found it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come into relationships, same principle.
Right.
You know, when we meet people, when we engage with people, I mean, everybody loves the person who you walk into the office or like, hey, how was your weekend? And they remembered your name. They remembered your kid's birthday, or they remembered details about you. It meant that they were thinking of you. And so that empowers you to say, wow, somebody cares, you know, something like that. And so I, you know, same thing. We strive and be intentional. Can I be that person? To the person that I'm relationship with, like our friendship.
I think that's important sometimes, because we might look at the relationships that we're in, and in that sense, who am I surrounding myself with? The thought is almost, what can they do for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to say it in that term, but also like, how am I to other people around me? Am I the person that lifts up or pulls down? You know, kind of like you said, leaving the room. There's something that I've said, I mean, we've said it to our kids before, we've talked to other people. And when I leave a room, is the room better because I was there? Or is the room better because I left? I don't want how I am in my relationships to be the latter. Like, okay, she's gone now, it's better. I want to be the one, or one of the ones in the room, that the room is better because I'm in it, because I'm lifting someone up, because I'm empowering someone else. And I think there's so much power in that. When that's what we're putting out, that's also what we attract. Sure. You know, we know that you attract what you are. So when I'm intentional about lifting you up, let's chase your dreams. What is it? Let's go for it. And encouraging that instead of enabling you to do the opposite, or let's lax on that, or or even to the detrimental effect of like, well, who do you think you are? You know what I mean? Like, am I the person that is sowing those things out, putting those things out there, because that's also what I'm going to attract? And then can you imagine what the room looks like if it's filled with that?
We're not the only ones making the deposit. We're not always looking for a withdrawal, but I'm looking to deposit who I am, what I bring to the table, and not being selfish. But, you know, I mean, the world is full of the dog eat dog, the self-centered, and it is part of a self-preservation. It's like, I need to figure out me. So sometimes I feel selfish at the time. And so that's that's something we have to push against, because naturally we want to take, we want to withdraw. We want to say, what is in it for me? You know, I mean, I went to through business years ago, and we were having meetings, and they were all talking about, well, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And the whole culture was what's in it for me. And you're kind of like, okay, that sounds okay. But at the same time, you know, find out 2 years down the road from those meetings, the CEO was stealing from the company. All these people were siphoning money. Like, well, their mentality was that, not what's in it for me. I'm going to get what I can and leave. And then that comes down to a legacy. You know, what is my life at the end of this? You know, the tombstone thing, you know, the life is lived from start to finish, but it's the dash.
Yeah.
You know, we live for the dash, and what are we leaving behind? And so, you know, we get into children and grandchildren and relationships, and down the line, you're talking legacy now. So you're talking, you know, everyday deposits are meaningful, you know, not only to grow in yourself, because the principle is sowing and reaping, you know, right? The principle, age old proverb, if you sow something, you reap it. Or if you put something out there, it's going to come back to you.
Right.
So the fear sometimes, or the scarcity mentality, is that if I give out too much, it'll never come back and I won't have anything, which principles tell us that's not true. You know, the more you give out, the more you love, the more you're going to get love back. And so in any relationship, sometimes it's difficult to be the one giving, 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 or feeling like that. But that becomes a mentality where you have to say, no, I'm putting into this thing so that I know my return's there. I know the harvest is there. I know that I'm going to get what I need back. So
I think that's where it's important to look at it and see a little bit of both, because it's important to give in a relationship, to be someone that empowers, to be someone that lifts up and encourages. And then also looking at the relationships that you're in and saying, am I trapped in a toxic relationship, like chronically the only one that's giving, or is it a little bit of a back and forth, or is it something that I'm putting into because I know that there's good on both ends, I guess, if that makes sense?
Well, I think there's a pull and push, because if you, you know, when you have value in the relationship, you know that, hey, in my downtimes, they're up and they're going to pull me up, and I can count on that, because we're human. We're going to have our times where like, woe is me.
Yeah,
this is tough. Right. And that person's going, mom, come on, you know better than that. Come on, we can do this. And we're in this together. And then at the same time, they come to you and say, hey, I'm going through a tough time. Hey, let's build them up. Let's pull them up to where we need to be. So yeah, if you're trapped in a relationship that's constantly withdrawing on you, there's no thing to put back in. There's nothing putting in you. So your reserves are going to be empty. And that's where we find a lot of toxic relationships. That's how you can identify that. Because, okay, I need to make a change here. Take a snapshot. If I feel drained all the time, I got to find somebody in my life that I can get from.
Yes.
Lean from. Lean, whether we find that in books and authors and other people.
Other online, podcasts.
Like this one. So hopefully that we can encourage people the same way we're getting it from somebody else. So finding different sources, because truth is out there. And if we can find it and discover it, man, getting those nuggets of truth and depositing them in ourselves.
Right.
That just puts us on the right path of where we're going.
So. That's something that I think is so cool about the world we live in right now. I mean, like two things kind of to what you said. It's important to have the relationships to know, is this chronically draining me, or is it a true relationship where, yes, I'm supporting you when you need it? Like, you don't have strength today, so I'll be your strength. But maybe another day I don't have strength, so you're going to be my strength. That's a good relationship where it's not a consistent tug, but a give and take. We still empower each other. We still lift each other. We have that in our relationship. I had days where I'm like, okay, maybe you just need a break for a minute. Lean on me, take a breath, something. Like, I'll take care of this for a minute. And you find the something you need to find for a minute.
Well, that's where you borderline into people getting codependent as opposed to leaning on each other, where I think, you know, codependency is a reliance totally on somebody that you're like, well, I can't do that because they're going to fail me. So we don't want to have a bunch of codependent relationships where we can't live without the other person, because that, and if you're becoming that crutch to somebody, that's not good.
Right.
Because you're eventually going to be weak and fall, and then everything fails. And so I think we strive towards those, to look for it, to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I want to be, I want to have those relationships. But sometimes it takes an outside perspective or somebody in your life to say, to be honest with you, because I think that's where we struggle the most. Is I'm trapped in these relationships that don't offer me any kind of value. And, well, I'm stuck, or I have to, or I feel like there's no way out of this. And or I feel guilty because, am I being selfish if I want to? It's not a selfish thing to take care of yourself. And there's a borderline there being selfish. But most of the time, it's like, hey, you got to take care of you. You know, it's the age old thing. If you're not healthy and wealthy and going through life thriving, then you're not going to be able to deposit in other people, and they can't withdraw on you.
Right.
So you have to be able to say, and sometimes
in the relationship. Put your mask on first for a minute sometimes. Yeah.
I'll say the same thing. Like, you always put your mask on first. They tell you, you know, because I can't help anybody else without me being taken care of. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we don't know that. You know, we don't see that because you can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we're right in the middle of it. And like, I don't feel like it's toxic. I don't feel like there's a codependency, but maybe get some outside perspective. It could be a parent. It could be somebody who knows your relationship saying, I don't know if that feels one-sided.
Yeah.
You know, not that we have to destroy the relationship or even walk away from it, but be aware of it. Now makes you aware of, okay, I'm going to make sure I guard myself.
Or maybe something to address or maybe something to have a discussion. Exactly. Yep.
I think people just might not even know that they're that person. So
we're
so consumed with day by day things that we get lost in. I just want to make it through tomorrow. I just want to be able to wake up tomorrow. It's okay. Well, then you're really not thriving or living. You're just kind of surviving. And I don't want to survive.
I don't want to survive. I want to thrive.
I don't want a marriage. I don't want these friendships to just survive.
Right.
The next thing is I want to be able to say, no, I like this relationship. I look forward to talking to that person. I look forward to hanging out or hiking or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're going in the same direction, whether it be, it doesn't mean that you're doing the same things or have the same job or any of that.
But some kind of goal. Yeah.
But at least some kind of goal to say, I want to thrive, not just survive.
Yeah.
You know, like let's root out the negativity. Let's empower each other. Let's, you know, help each other. And it goes back to that term, that old term, unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. And really what that just means is so like back in the day, how fields were tended. Think of a field, this long rectangular shape.
A lot of work.
They were oxen instead of tractors. And oxen would go all the way down the field and turn around and come back again. And they had this yoke that would till the ground. Well, the yoke would be what was on their basically shoulders. I don't know if that's what they're actually called for.
Tied together.
Oxen. But they were, tied together to pull the thing that tilled the ground. And unequally yoked meant that there was a stronger or larger ox that was tied to or tethered to maybe one that was not as strong or smaller. And so what would end up causing that, instead of the oxen to take the thing that tilled the ground all the way from one end of the field to the other, because one was pulling stronger or faster, I mean, what happens? It ends up going in a circle.
Because, or even more determined.
Right. Yes, exactly. Or even more determined. Let's get this done. And it would end up going in a circle. Mm-hmm. And that's where that term came from, as like, you don't want to be unequally yoked. I don't want my life to look like I'm just going in circles.
Right.
And over and over and over, maybe rehashing the same problem, or maybe thinking about the same things, or never leaving a job, or never starting the thing that I wanted to start, or doing the thing that I wanted to do, because I'm just kind of going in circles.
And you become unproductive.
Right. Yeah. Instead of having someone that encourages you in that goal.
Well, I find it funny because when you say that unequally yoked, it really kind of dawned on me that going in the same goal, like say in a broad aspect, say me and you have health goals, but we don't structure them exactly the same, but we encourage each other to do what's healthy for you. So we're staying in the same direction. We're willing and powerful in an equal fashion to say, no, I'm striving to do my best in my lane.
Yes.
Both the ox have to stay in their lane. If they can't run over each other, otherwise it doesn't work either.
Yeah.
So they're still equally yoked in the sense that we're going in the same, whether one might be doing a little bit more or less, we're going in that same health direction. We're going in the fruitful relationship. We're going in bettering myself. I'm going in more spiritual fashion, whatever it is. And I think it's important because it's never going to be exactly the same. When we sit down at the dinner table, I don't say, well, you need to eat more of this or less, because my body's different. I'm going to diet or nutritionize myself differently, but it's all in the same goal of getting healthier or being a better person. And so we can work together and hit that same goal and both be productive plow the field. And when we look back, we go, man, we got it done. We're this much farther. We're not going in circles, trying to be each other's.
Yeah. You don't have to do the exact same thing to be that encouragement or that empowering to each other. Yeah. And be yoked, whether it's in marriage or friendship again, or in business or whatever. I mean, so look at our shirts. I know not everyone can see our shirts right now. Maybe on the video you can. But we both have our Mountain View Lads shirts on. So quick little plug for that. But remember, think back to when this Mountain View Lodge was just a dream. But we both had the dream. And we would talk about it. And we would encourage each other.
One day, yep.
Yep. And maybe it looked different how I planned and how you planned. And it would look different in how, I mean, I would plan around like creating mood boards of colors and design. And you would plan by like talking to realtors and setting up things and research and all this. And I would get frustrated when like we would look at stuff and it didn't work out and just want to throw up my hands and you'd be like, okay, let's just take some time. But what were the thing? The goals were the same. Mm-hmm. We wanted this lodge, a place with a view to leave a legacy for our children and a place for us to go and grow the business, but also a place for rest, a place for peace. And what did that look like? It looked like some of the goals were financial. It looked like we were both okay making sacrifices at times because
for the benefit, yeah.
We knew the goal was here. Like you said, we were each in our own lane because we looked at it different and we mm-hmm. planned it differently and we thought about it differently. We talked about it differently. But yet at the same time, we were both headed towards that same goal, which made, okay, well, maybe we won't eat out. Let's, mm-hmm. you know, let's save on this and let's do this because we're saving towards this thing. And it allowed us to hit the goal. It allowed us mm-hmm. to plow that field together and get it done. And then we did the thing. But why? Because we had this common goal, this thing that we were working towards that we were able to hit and make happen. And we were able to encourage each other. And it didn't mean that we were always perfect. Absolutely not. Did it mean that everything hit the mark? Definitely not. But we would encourage each other or, you know, when things didn't look good or it was taking longer than we thought it should, it was a time to mm-hmm. encourage each other, you know?
Well, it's kind of like even in our friendship, and you have different goals. I didn't have a goal to do this as a podcast or mm-hmm. other business goals, maybe this is you. But when we were able to talk through it or sit it down and say, what is your vision for your life looking like in the next 5 or 10 years? What is mine looking like? How do those overlap?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, too many times nowadays, we find this confirmation bias, this idea of I want my stuff. And then when I go to the right person, they encourage me to do exactly what I wanted to. I'm like, but I have no outside influence that might challenge that or might say, well, there's some cons to what your idea. And mm-hmm. so we get caught up in the little nitty gritty instead of saying, well, instead of finding the differences, let's find the similarities. Let's find the overlap where it says we can have a common goal, still both have our stuff, mm-hmm. still both enjoy our life, still both, you know, like you talked about the cabin, you know, we each looked at it in a different way. And I looked at sacrifice maybe different than you did. I mean, mm-hmm. I was willing to sacrifice A, B, and C, but I didn't want to do
right
this one. And you say, okay, I can give on that one mm-hmm. to still hit my goal. Well, I'll sacrifice this or I'll mm-hmm. do this differently. And so it's a give and take. The relationship's always going to be a compromise.
Everyone. Exactly. Every relationship is. Because it's also human. Like we're human. We're different people coming together with faults in our humanity. But that's also the beauty of it. It's kind of the thing where it's like, you know, you don't appreciate the rainbow without the rain. Like it doesn't happen without the rain. So there are times in our lives where you feel the other person's humanity. Mm-hmm. And that's where it is, like we talked about in the beginning, kind of that give and take. Yeah. But also that's what makes relationships and friendships and all that so much fun and so exciting. And yes, it's work to it, but it's exciting and fulfilling.
Right.
But especially when you're in the room or you surround yourself with people who encourage that. And right. I think, you know, that there might even be people that are listening right now and saying, okay, but I don't have that, or I don't see that, or I don't.
Yeah.
How do I find that? I mean, because we've even talked about that before at different times. Like, okay, there's this thing in my life I'm thinking about wanting to do. I don't know anyone that does that. I don't know anyone that could help mentor me in that or, you know, encourage me in that area because I haven't done it yet. And no one I know has done that yet.
Right.
And that's where I meant to say earlier, like, that's what's beautiful about our world right now.
Access.
Is this access, podcasts, books, audiobooks. I mean, I have Kindle devices. We have our audiobooks. We have like all of these podcasts. You have your own, like not your own, but you have like your list of podcasts you listen to and find more. I have my list of podcasts that I listen to. Do I know all of those people personally? Nope. No. But have they helped me? Yes. Have they mentored me? Absolutely. Without realizing it or knowing it, because they've encouraged me in this dream or this thing or that thing. So I think there are times when it could feel like, okay, I don't know how to surround myself with people that, you know, I don't know how to make that room. As an entrepreneur and a mom of six, my mornings start quick and early. But I've learned that what I consume in the morning really sets the tone for my day. And yes, I am talking about saving the scrolling for later in the day, but I'm also talking about a healthy morning latte for heightened focus and smooth, long-lasting energy. It can seem overwhelming with endless options when it comes to choosing your daily bevs. So why not fuel your mind while you fuel your body, while you skip the jitters and afternoon crash? I've been using Clever Superfood Latte blends this past year as I made adjustments to focus on my health, and I am not turning back. Each Clever Blend contains 3 powerful adaptogens, 500 million heat-safe probiotics, and healthy superfoods wrapped up in a decadent oat milk latte. Just add water, froth, and voila! A couple of my faves are the mocha and chai, but there are many delicious ones to choose from. So go to cleverblends.com and use my code FRESHMOMMY15 for a discount just for you. That's CLEVERBLENDS.com and code FRESHMOMMY15. How do I get into the room that is empowering instead of enabling? How do I get into that room? Start by maybe just finding that online. Start by finding people. I mean,
can be groups.
I guess I feel like it sounds strange, but there are people that I feel like I know that I don't actually know, but they encourage me every week through their podcast or through the things that they share online or like that, or even just books we've read, you know, or like you said, groups. That's a great one too. Book reading groups, because we've found a lot of growth and a lot of empowerment and a lot of help through reading books. And then also on top of that, talking about those books together.
Sure.
So maybe it's that. Maybe it's finding someone that likes to read and will read a book and you go through it together and then you're able to talk about it. And maybe that's also somewhat something online, an online group or a Facebook group or something.
Well, the old proverb says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. So,
right? Yes.
You gotta do something. Yes. It might take you getting uncomfortable.
Yeah,
we're going to talk this week about that. I mean, being uncomfortable sometimes. Getting out of your comfort zone. You know, a lot of us are comfortable sitting in our house behind a screen and you wonder why you don't have the relationships you want. And
you can find
those online, but at the same time, you know, having human contact is a huge thing if you can, because that's going to promote differences, different applications, different stuff that you physically touch going on in the world, but promotes growth, because any new information is going to allow you to take that in and say, well, what can I do with this?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, they say, eat the hay and, you know, spit the sticks. You know, the things that don't belong, you just weed it out.
Right.
It takes some time, but got to do something.
But get comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know, because that's how change comes. And I think, I mean, even in one of the last podcasts, we'll link it below, but talking about that, procrastination a lot of times is it's a symptom of stress, but it's because we don't want the uncomfortable aspect of like the next thing. It's something we want, but it's uncomfortable to take that step or start.
Yeah.
And so then we don't. But I think it's really important, just like you said, like just
take
those steps.
Nobody wants to be disappointed. And all the disappointment is just the fact is it didn't come out the way I want.
Right.
And it's all back to me again. Well, I'm afraid it won't work how I want, so I'll be disappointed. Well, guess what? Disappointment is part of life. And you just figure out like we did. Yeah, I was disappointed to look at a few houses and something we didn't even get to. It was funny a couple of times. We're like, this isn't going to work.
You almost fell off the side of a mountain, you all, just to say we almost, our car full of us and our children almost slid off the side of a mountain and we decided not to continue looking at houses there. But things happen. Exactly. And it means change, or it's almost like in a sense, the grief that's between the expectation that we had and what reality looks like. And that space in between, that middle period, that grief in between the expectation and what actually is happening is disappointment.
Well, and that's where they can get to the term sweet sorrow. You know, there's sorrow, things happen in life and that brings sorrowness, but sorrowness can lead us to the right thing. It can cause change in our life that says, had I not experienced that sorrow, I would have never experienced the joy that now I know how.
Or the love in these relationships, or the fulfillment from it, or the change that I'm experiencing or going through because of this, maybe the things that started it or started that journey. Yeah.
Well, I think when you're building relationships, you're going to look for those things. There's signs that look for, like you said, the toxicities and stuff, and start reading those things out. Start identifying. One of the first things you're going to do is snapshot your life. Where am I at now? And am I happy with it? If not, then I might have to step out and get some uncomfortable. some actions that'll make you experience some things that'll maybe lead you to the best relationships in your life and lifelong friendships. I have friends that, like you said, I just talk to once every 3 months and I feel like it's the best thing ever. And we encourage each other every single time I talk, but I don't have to go to the movies with them or whatever. I don't have to go to movies anymore, but watching all
We haven't in
quite a while. Wow, he went to movies? This is crazy.
Well, I think as we close out today is just remembering that, like, when I leave a room, was the room better because I was there or better because I'm gone? Like, what is it that I'm attracting? Because you attract what you are. So I think in building relationships, part of that means building yourself, growing yourself to be a good friend, mm-hmm. to be a good partner, to be a good relationship person, like person in a relationship. And then also taking stock of that. Am I surrounding myself with also that, what I want to become, what I, mm-hmm. you know, the room is better because these people are in the room sure. that I've created.
One tip I guess I'll leave with people is that somebody who struggles with, like I think they call it resting mad face or whatever, a smile goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just be polite. Just and next thing you know, you open up friendships and people want to talk to somebody who does. I know. So it's something that I have to intentionally make sure I'm telling my face how I feel. And that could be a huge thing. I know it's kind of a side note, but
yeah,
if you want to start having good friendships, start by smiling.
Just smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think that's a great episode. Thank you for being on it with me. Thanks for chatting with me. I think this was fun. But let us know. Send us a message. Comment if you want Chris to be on the Radiant Womanhood podcast. Again, we can delve into other topics and talk about things. But I just thought this was really important. Like, it's important what we surround ourselves with. And thinking about that, if someone's going to look, take a snapshot of who I surround myself with, and it'll show them my future, then relationships are really important. Cool. So thank you for listening today. Share this with someone else, and let's keep shining. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Radiant Womanhood. If you want more, head on over to radiantwomanhood.com for show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, I'd be so grateful if you could take a few moments to rate and review the show. Don't forget to hit the follow button to stay updated on our latest episodes. Friend, I love hearing from you, so shoot me a DM at Instagram at Radiant Womanhood or at Tabitha Blue to carry on the conversation. And if you believe the remarkable women in your life could benefit from this episode, share the link with them to spread the love. Until next time, friend, keep shining.